Fellowship is what we want to talk about. Because you know something? God has prepared a church. And it just isn't Crossroads Community Church. But there's churches throughout our land, throughout our world. He has built a church of committed, born-again Christians that is carrying out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to think about today. And I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. Because I think, as I think about fellowship, I think about what the Apostle Paul said and what he did in the church of Philippi. Because you see, Paul was in prison in Rome whenever this letter was written. He was away from the Christians in Philippi. But yet he had a message for them. He had an encouragement to them. And he also had a time whenever he wanted to uplift them. But above all, he wanted to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, because our rejoicing and our joy is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. So I want us to bow our head just for a moment. Let us pray, and then we'll read the scripture. Father God, we thank you and praise you right now for this time that as we come together to worship you, I pray, dear Lord, that you would just move in a mighty way. I ask, God, that you would remove me, remove everything that I am and all that I ever will be or think that I will be. I pray, dear Lord, that I can die so that you can live in and through me and this message today. God, touch every heart, every life, win every victory. You be Lord as we lift you and exalt you, because you already are. Help us in our hearts lift you as Lord and exalt you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we give you thanks and praise for what you're going to do in this service, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. You know, if Christianity does anything for an individual, it should make him joyful. It should bring joy into their life. And beloved, if Christianity in your life doesn't bring you joy, then you need to come down to this altar and do business with God. Because Jesus said that I have come that you may have life and that you may have more abundantly. Abundantly is the joy that we experience and have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the way through this letter of the book of Philippians, 16 times the Apostle Paul mentioned joy and rejoicing. And that is where we want to come to today. Our joy and our rejoicing, you see, is not in this building. It's not in me. It is not in anyone in particular in this building. Our joy today is found all in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our joy is at. That's what Christianity does for us. And so if Christianity does not make you joyful and happy today, then there's something wrong in your heart today that you need to settle and make right with God. Because Paul was a man that loved to praise the Lord. He loved to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved to get happy in the Lord. And he also loved to preach the Word of God. Reminds me of somebody that I know of around here named Tim Hall. He loved to do that too. And we have a pastor, you see, that loves to exalt the Lord Jesus. He loves to exalt the Word and preach the Word in power and simplicity according to the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And that is exactly what we want to dwell on today, is to make joyful our hearts today as we come together, that we might put everything out of our mind, every thought that you may have, every unkind word that you might have had. You know, maybe you and your wife had a big spat before you come to church, or maybe you had an out with one of your children before you come to church. Well, I want you to understand today, folks, Jesus Christ can forgive you and cleanse you, and he can help you to be all that you need to be and remove all of that to restore the joy of his salvation in your life and in your heart today. That's what he wants to do. You know something, whenever I stepped down March 13th of 2011 from First Baptist Church of San Mateo, I was looking for a church that I had been leading a church for some 45 years in my ministry. I've been leading churches to a strong and powerful and to a strong, vibrant, enthusiastic people of God. And I was looking for that whenever I stepped down. And you know something? It took 9 churches and 9 pastors that didn't really have that joy, that excitement, and that charisma about him to draw me to that church. Until I came to Crossroads Community Church with my wife's influence and also insistence. She insisted that we come to Crossroads. I wasn't going to come here. But I want you to know, my wife said, we're going to Crossroads on Wednesday night. And on a Wednesday night, I was sitting right out there about where she's sitting at now. And whenever I came into this place, I want you to know that I was welcome. I was hugged. Never been seen by many of these people around here, but I was hugged. I was welcome. And man, I tell you, the joy that I experienced and had here, it reminded me of what I did whenever I first went to any church that I went to. Because you know, the church will take on the reflection and will take on the personality of a pastor. This church has took on the pastor of this church as being a happy, joyful fellowship. I know we're not perfect. We got flaws. We got problems. We got all kind of things going on in our life. We got all of these things, but I want you to understand, folks, that Jesus Christ has an answer to all of these things, and he can give us a joy rather than a frown and a complaining spirit. He can remove all of that and restore to us a positive attitude, and to know that Jesus Christ is still on the throne, he's still in control, and he still has all power, and he is going to move in a mighty and great way as we think about the fellowship of a church. The Apostle Paul had a deep desire for this church. Because you see, Epaphroditus, who was the pastor of this church of Philippi, in the 16th chapter of Acts is where this church originated from. And you will go to the 16th chapter of Acts. Don't go to there now, but read it later on, and you will find out that the church of Philippi originated there because of a preacher named the Apostle Paul who wanted to go to Bithynia, but God said, no, you don't go there. I want you to go over into Macedonia. And when he went over into Macedonia, by the faithfulness and of the influence that God gave to him, there was a transformation and an outpouring of God's Spirit and power, and the whole Roman world at that time was transformed because the gospel of Jesus Christ went throughout that region, and there were many, 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 many souls that were saved, and a church, beloved, was revived. And on the way, Epaphroditus was in that Roman prison trying to give comfort to the Apostle Paul. Epaphroditus, the pastor, he met sickness. And Paul wanted to call that church to unity and to peace because, you see, he was afraid that because he was gone such a long time and because he was sick and because he was not able to fulfill his responsibility, they thought that he might be a weakling or that he might be a quitter. But Paul wanted that church to understand and to know that not only did you send a pastor over there to comfort me, to help me and to comfort me in my time of distress in prison, and to bring a monetary gift to my ministry, he said he did more than that for me. He was a precious, dear, dear friend and an under-shepherd that took me in and was able to help me to understand and to know, you see, that our joy is found in Jesus Christ. Even though Paul was in prison, he still praised the Lord. He still sang. He still witnessed. He still done everything in the ministry that he was doing while he was outside of the church. Paul was a man that was an encourager, and he was one, you see, that wanted to excite a church. And folks, listen, if Jesus Christ does not excite you this morning, then this church is not going to get excited, because Jesus Christ is the one that will excite you and that will help you to be all you need to be and to lift you up and to encourage you and to restore to you, you see, a joy in your heart that you will be rejoicing now and forevermore until Jesus calls us home. I want to be in that place where Jesus wants us to be. And I'm in that place today because I met that kind of fellowship when I came to Crossroads Community Church. And folks, listen, if it's changed, it hasn't been God's fault. It's been because we changed. And listen, folks, we need to change and be conformed to the image of His dear Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the conformity that we need today. So let me read to you these verse 11 verses. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace, or partners of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Notice all the way through those 11 verses about the Lord and about praising Jesus Christ and about being in the Lord and about the church, you see, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the kind of fellowship that Paul wanted to establish, that he wanted to strengthen, and that he wanted the church to be a part of, because that is where we're going to find our joy and rejoicing. And beloved, listen, the Apostle Paul was not standing by himself. You look at verse 1, Paul and Timothy, you see, they were servants of Jesus Christ. Paul and Timothy, Paul was the one of wisdom. He was the one that was strong. He was the one that represented the adult person in this particular scenario. Timothy was the young man. And he represented the one, you see, that Paul went out and got hold of as a young person, brought him into the fellowship, and began to disciple him, to grow him in the faith and in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what a church is all about, and this is what our pastor is concerned about, and this is what our pastor dwells upon, and that is that we go out and that we find these young people, and that we find these children, we find these adults that is lost and undone without Jesus Christ in their life, and to bring them into this fellowship in order that they might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that they can be born again and saved just like you and I was whenever we got saved a long time ago. I tell you, it's a great and glorious experience to know that. Someone might ask me, well, preacher, today is Super Bowl Sunday, and you don't have on your dress as your color of your team. Well, I want you to know, folks, I have my team colors on. I have the dress on that the Lord wants me to have, because you see this black suit that I've got on, it represents a life that was dead, undone, dark, in trespasses and sin, and Jesus came into my life. He took the blood, his precious blood that the red tie represents, and he washed my sins as white as snow. And today, beloved, I have a white shirt on, knowing that one of these days in the end, I'm going to have a new glorified body and a new robe of righteousness. I've got my team spirit on. I've got my team colors on, and I'm proud of it. I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm proud to be a member of Crossroads Community Church. I'm proud to have Brother Tim and Miss Tanya as our pastor and family. I'm glad to have Brother Jameson as our minister of music. I'm glad to have you as teachers. I'm glad to have you as a fellowship. I am in joy and rejoicing today because I have found a fellowship in Jesus Christ here at this church. Get excited and get right with God and let the Lord take over and do what he wants to do in our midst and in our life. We can get excited at a football game. Listen, folks, I can get excited standing right here. And I tell you, they said that Baptists are not supposed to shout. I want you to know there's no scripture that says a Baptist can't shout. I will shout if the Lord leads me to do so. Fellowship, servants of God. You see, the servant is nothing, beloved, but a bondslave in the Greek. And we are all bondslaves of Jesus Christ. And we've been placed here in this place today in order that we might become a slave unto Jesus Christ. And we might become a slave to the ministry. That we might become a slave to the church and to the fellowship of one another. Not in a pious, hypocritical, and a way, you see, that is not real and true. Because a real, true Christian, beloved, one that has truly been born again, is a Christian that's going to stand, and he's not going to be fake whenever he says, I love Jesus, and I love you. Amen. If we love one another, we're going to show it. If we love one another, beloved, it's going to come out in our attitude. It's going to come out in our life. It's going to come out because, you see, Paul and Timothy were the servants of Jesus Christ, and they were the ones, beloved, that represented the church, and they became not only the wisdom pastor, because bishops and deacons, you see, bishop is nothing but an elder or a pastor that is interpreted in the Greek and Hebrew. And a deacon is a spiritual-minded man that ministered to the widows and the widowers, that ministered to those that were in need of help in the church. And today, beloved, you and I are servants of Jesus Christ. We're bond slaves of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we need to get busy and get started carrying out the Great Commission of reaching out, grabbing a hold of these young people, grabbing a hold of these people that are lost and undone, these people that need a church and that need a comforting arm about them. Amen. I remember Jackie Robinson, reading about Jackie Robinson, the famous baseball player. And in his day, whenever he became one of the famous baseball players, he was on the field one day and he made an error, and all of his fans began to jeer on him. They began to criticize and complain. They began to holler and do all kind of things. And there was a second baseman or shortstop when he came over there. And whenever he came up to Jackie Robinson, brother Tim, stand up. I'm going to tell him, pick on you today. Whenever he came over to Jackie Robinson, Jackie Robinson was feeling bad in his life because he knew that he made a mistake. He erred. And therefore, he was really complaining in his own life. He was hurting. And there was a man by the name of Reese on that ball team that came up to him. He turned and he looked at the crowd, and he put his arm around him and just looked up at the crowd. And when he looked up at the crowd, everybody began to just die down. Why? Because, you see, every one of us need a shoulder to lean on, and we need the arm to reach around our neck. Amen. And folks, this pastor right here today needs an arm reached around his neck. He needs a strength. This precious lady that is his wife, Miss Tammy. Sonia. Pardon me, I'm excited. I'm in another world.
Amen.
I'm in another world.
Amen. It's all good.
Miss Sonia, come up here and stand with him. Come up here and stand with him. I know that. I know you may not like to do that, but listen, we're gonna be in front of millions of people one of these days when we stand before Jesus. But I want it to be said that even today, on this day of February the 3rd, that I give a shoulder and an arm for this, my pastor and his wife, because I love them.
Amen.
Because they deserve that kind of respect, that kind of dignity. That's right, beloved. We need to give God praise and honor and glory because we've got a godly pastor and a godly pastor's wife that love the Lord Jesus Christ and love you today, beloved. And he gives sacrificially in every way, shape, form, and fashion. That's what fellowship is all about, my dear beloved and sisters in Christ. That's what a fellowship is all about, that we would take them under our wing and that we would love them. You can use it on there. That we love them. And you know something? Every one of you out there is not alone either. Because you know something? If you needed a shoulder to lean on, and if you need an arm to go around your neck, these two people, either one of them, would do the same thing. Brother James, where's Jameson at?
Amen.
I know, he'd back there in the back. But I tell you, Brother Jameson, you're also one of God's choice servants of this church that make up the fellowship of this church. You might be young. You might be young in age, but you're not young in the Lord. God has his hand upon you. He's placed you here. He called you, and you are a part of the ministry and a part of the staff and the team of this church. I, beloved, am just an outcast coming in, and I'm just a part of the team because my pastor made me a part of this team. But I want you to know I've been a team of Jesus Christ for 51 glorious years, and I'm going to be celebrating in my 51st anniversary and birthday on April the 18th, 1962, and I will be celebrating 51 years as a minister and a servant of God in the ministry of the Lord come April the 18th, 2013. I'll get it out in a minute. Paul and Timothy were the servants of God in that church. And folks, listen, we have a great and glorious church. Why in the world do we want let the devil and all of his cohorts mess it up? Why do we want to hang on to that old life? Why do we want to hang on to those old feelings? Why do we want to hang on to those old wounds? Why do we want to hang on to all of those things, you see, that once drug us down and brought us down? Beloved, listen, if there was ever a person that needed to humble himself before God, it was this preacher right here, because at one time I shook my face in God's face and I mocked him, I cursed him, and I said, God, if you're true and if you're real, then strike me dead and prove that you're God. I'm glad he didn't hear my mocking voice and answer that. And listen, you might not have had that same kind of experience that I did, but you've had similar. And you were just like that. You were lost. You were undone without Jesus until he come into your heart and life as your Savior. And when he come into your heart and life as a Savior, he set you apart. And that's what you see saints are in the church, is people that's been set apart. The saints, it represents the ecclesia, the church, and that is the called out ones or the sanctified ones. And ever since the moment that you were saved and born into God's family, you were set apart to serve him. And beloved, if we're not serving him in truth and in spirit today, then we must do business with God. And listen, folks, how in the world can I look down my face and snob somebody or criticize somebody or gossip about somebody or talk about somebody in the fellowship of the church whenever both of us is indwelt by the same Christ? That is hypocritical. That will destroy a fellowship, tear down a fellowship. And beloved, we're here today for the edifying and building up of the fellowship. That's what Paul and Timothy did. Amen. That's what they did. That's what they wanted this church to be, a strong, vibrant, enthusiastic church, fellowshipping, rejoicing, and praising the Lord, and exalting him, and exalting one another. Right. And we can do that. Oh, I tell you, this is what brings the joy. You see, this makes up a fellowship of the church. And beloved, I'm a part of that fellowship. And I tell you, I enjoy what I do. If you can't tell that by now, then I'm sorry. But you see, a healthy fellowship, it nurtures and it grows a Christian to where we can become the very present and the very body of Christ. If you will look over in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through verse 11, you will find that there is the perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in a church. Because you see, this church did have problems. This church did have people in the church that was complaining in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. You will find that there was two women, Jodias and Syntyche. These people, they were fussing and arguing, bickering back and forth at one another. Paul was calling for peace and for a unity. Look down to the scripture that I've read. Call for peace and a unity to come in the church. And beloved, today, if there's any kind of disruption about that in this church, if there is, then I'm calling you today to a peace and to a unity in Jesus Christ, that we might put the squelch once and for all right here on this altar. Release it, let it go, and go back to our seats, that we might victoriously lift up and uphold the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing and praising the Lord that He still loved every one of us in spite of who we are and what we are. Paul and Timothy was those kind of servants and those kind of saints. You see, they were sending financial needs to Paul in his ministry, even though he was in prison. They couldn't afford it either. Folks, we can't afford it today either, but you see, the priesthood of the believers is mentioned in the Old Testament, and the priest is the one, you see, that went into the Holy of Holies, and he's the one that interceded for people to God. It was also represented, you see, as the tithe that was set apart. The tithe is also set apart in the sanctuary, and the tithe is set apart in order that it may go forth for the ministry, for the work, for the ministry of the church, and to take care of God's servants, that they might be able to give full time to the ministry of God and not be able to have to worry about where their next meal is going to come from, or where their next dollar is going to come from, or how all this is going to happen. You see, the rejoicing and the joy came because the people were cheerful in their heart, and Jesus said He loves a cheerful giver. The priesthood, beloved, the priesthood of the believers is you and I. The believers, we are the kings, we are the priests of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have had the greatest honor bestowed upon us because He looked upon us whenever we were dead in trespasses and sin. He looked down upon Leroy and He said, "Boy, Leroy, you have made a mess of your life. You have sinned. You have cursed me. You have done all of these things. But I want you to know, Leroy, I love you. And I sent my Son into this world in order that you may be able to have eternal, everlasting life, that you can have forgiveness of your sin, and my precious blood of my Son that cleansed and washed you from your sin, beloved." And He rose again from the grave, and He ascended back to the Father. And one day He's coming back as Lord of Lords and King of Kings to redeem the church and to take the church home to be with Him. I want to be a part of that. But while I'm here on this earth, I want that same joy in my heart, and I want that same joy in the fellowship of the church that I belong to. Amen. And I believe Jesus would be happy concerning that. Right. If you think that I'm hollering and screaming and bellowing for no reason, beloved, listen, I'm hollering and screaming because that is my joy in my heart. Amen. And I am happy. Oh, I am so happy. And I am enthused, and I'm going to tell it until Jesus comes. Amen. I come into this world no teeth, wrinkled, and no hair. And I'm probably going to leave out the same way. Probably going to leave out the same way. But I want you to know, folks, as long as I'm here, I'm going to fight the devil with everything that I've got in my hands. And then whenever I can't fight him, I'm going to bite him. Until I can't bite no more, and then I'm going to gum him to death. But you see, this is what brings joy to a church. Amen. This is what Paul and Timothy set the examples of. And folks, listen, you and I are examples in this church. Amen. Every one of us. Because every child that you see sitting around you, in front of you, and behind you, You are an example to that child by the way you talk, by the way you act, by the way that you, by what you do, by what you say, by how you perform and your faithfulness, your commitment to the Lord. All of these things is an example. You see, every one of us is an example. We're either a good example or we're going to be a bad example. There's no in between. No in between. Paul and Timothy wanted to be servants to the saints of God in the church of Philippi. Because you see, Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." And listen, folks, I don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. I don't want nobody to lose their joy because of me, because of my lack of fellowship, or my lack of commitment, or my lack of service to the Lord, or my lack of ministry. I've often said it so many times, I'm not going to give up until my toes are sticking up like this. Because you see, there's no place in God's word for a person to give up or to quit. And I got a saying about me: I'm not going to back up, I'm not going to give up, and I'm not going to shut up until he calls me up. Amen. And you see, that is the joy that Jesus gives to us when we have him in our heart. Because you see, Jesus is in our heart, and we're supposed to be in Jesus in the life of those around us. And that's what Paul and Timothy was talking about. That's what the saints of God, that's why Paul had a special liking to this church when it got established and started. And Paul was, even though he was in a Roman prison, he had his problems. He had his dark days. And folks, listen, we have an experience that we're faced with this afternoon, tomorrow, of a young man in this community that we all knew, most of us knew. A second person out of a high school in less than a week that was killed. And folks, listen, these are some dark, dark, sad days. But I want you to understand, folks, Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. And he that liveth and believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Life and death, beloved, is also in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have even a joy and a rejoicing in that. And I say rejoicing because, you see, this young man that was killed by the rebels, he was saved. He was baptized in this church. He's in heaven today. When the moment of the last breath he breathed, he left from this life. Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As Christians, folks, we have a win-win situation. While we live here on this while we live here on this earth, we know Christ as our Savior and Lord. And whenever we die, we go to be with our Savior and Lord. So it's a win-win situation. There can be rejoicing and joy even in death and in grief and sorrow. Paul had his. He was beaten many times almost unto death. But God wasn't through with him. God's not through with you and me either. He's not through with this church. And folks, we have a great fellowship. And the fellowship that we enjoy, It is not because of the great preaching that we have here. It is not because of the great programs that we have here. It is not because of the beautiful building that we meet in and worship in. It is not because of all of the talents that we've got within the church. Beloved, it is great because Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's Lord of the church. Jesus said, "I'll build my church." And folks, you know that Jesus built this church. Right. Because if he hadn't, we wouldn't be in this building today. And the gates of hell, he said, will not prevail against it. In other words, you bring all of your cohorts, you bring all of your power, Satan. You bring everything you want to against this church. You bring everything against this preacher that you want to. You bring everything against our minister of music. You bring everything against all of this church. And I can assure you that not a one of those things is strong enough or powerful enough that is going to stop my work. Not going to stop it. Why? Because Jesus is still Lord. And His Holy Spirit is still leading and moving and working in this place and in the hearts and lives of individuals. You know, the Bible teaches us, as Paul said, that even Christ, when He loved us, He gave Himself for us. He laid down His life. He took on our lives that we, you and I may be able to take on His life. He took our sins and buried them in the depths of the sea. He took our sins and forgave them and removed them from our life. And therefore today, you see, we live because Jesus Christ lives, and He has power and victory over all of these things that you and I will ever come up against. So don't let anything rob you of the joy and the rejoicing that we have as a fellowship of God. Because the fellowship, you see, is where Paul said it. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5 of our scripture text. But Paul said in verse 5, he said, in verse 3, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul had a thankful heart. He had a joyful heart. He had a heart, you see, that was sold out for Jesus. He had a heart for the church. He had a heart for the people of God. He had a heart for everything. And beloved, not only that, but even though Paul was in a prison jail in Rome, he also had a prayerful heart. He prayed for them. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Even though he was miles away from them, he had them. He was thanking God for them. Why? Because they were in his heart all the time. And folks, the more we have God's people in our hearts, praying for them, loving them, rejoicing in our hearts because we know them. Because you see, Paul was in a prison. He had nobody there. We don't stand alone today, folks. Paul was not alone either, because in that jail cell where he was at, in the 16th chapter of Acts, there was a jailer there that was watching over them. And that jailer in that jail, you see, he had the responsibility of keeping that prison and not letting any of the prisoners escape. But what happened in that prison cell that midnight night, they was in that cell and they were praying, they were singing, and they were praising the Lord. Beloved, you see, that's where our fellowship is at. We pray, we sing, we praise the Lord, and we fellowship with one another. And as a result of that, the Bible says that there was a wind that blew through that prison cell, burst all the doors and the locks open. And whenever they were burst open, all the prisoners could have walked out, because there was only one man there. And they could have overpowered him and left from that prison. But you know something? The power of God was in so much control over that situation that not a one of those prisoners left from that prison cell. And Paul said, because the jailer, you see, he was about to take his life. I believe that Paul, by divine revelation, could see that jailer out there at that desk, and he already had his sword up, and he was ready to thrust it into his heart, because he knew he was going to have to face the Roman consulate, and he was going to have to give an account of all those prisoners. And Paul said, do yourself no harm, because we're all still here. Why were they still there? Because the Holy Spirit of God was in control. And he wouldn't let them leave. They didn't want to leave. And that jailer run in, bowed down. What must I do to be saved, sirs? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. He was saved. A glorious salvation experience came to that jailer and to his whole household. A little bit earlier up in that chapter, we find that there was Lydia. We find that there was a slave girl. That Lydia was a seller of purple. The slave girl, you see, was none other but you being used as a tool or being used as a patsy in order to sell this man's wares and goods in a false way. And he was, both of them, you see, was unsaved, and both of them was doing things amongst that fellowship, trying to hinder and trying to stop what was going on there. But both of them, that lady the seller of purple, Lydia, she was gloriously saved. The woman that was also the one that was being used, she was also saved. She was delivered from being used. And you see, that's what happens many times in our lives. Sometimes we are coerced, brought in, and influenced by somebody else. Because in this church, there was false teachers. There was doctrines that was coming into the church that was not that was not according to the scripture. And there was disruptions. There was all kind of things that was happening in that church. It was for the stopping of the ministry. It was for the stopping of this church from going forward in ministry. God don't like that. And God stopped it. He saved the woman that was doing that. It grieved Paul, and he talked to her about Jesus. The woman that was being used by this evil influence, she was also saved. And the jailer was also saved. Three different kinds of people. One was an Asian, one was a Roman, and one was a Greek. Look around you. There's all kinds of people of all shapes, forms, and fashions. And there's all kinds of backgrounds. Every one of us has experience. But I want you to understand one thing, folks. When Jesus brings us together, when Jesus brings us to the altar under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and our hearts is touched and pricked because the gospel is preached and the Holy Spirit is moving and conviction comes upon us, and we kneel down and we confess those sins and we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sin, He removes the sin. He removes that background that we once lived in and once had. He removes all of that. And we're all baptized into one spirit and into one body. Look around you. That's what makes up this fellowship. We come from all different kind of backgrounds. But every one of us, you see, has got a past. Every one of us has got our closets, and we got our skeletons, we got everything. But praise God today. And I rejoice in my joy in this, because you see, whenever Jesus took the sins away from my life, oh, I tell you, He made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. And He did the same for you. And as new creations in Christ Jesus, that old life, those old habits, those old sins, those old thoughts, those old influences, those old things that, you know, that once bogged me down and discouraged and tried to bind me up was removed. The shackles was released, just like in that prison. And today, because of Jesus as being Lord, and because of Jesus in the church, and because of Jesus in you and me, we make up a great, enthusiastic, and an exuberant body of Christ, a fellowship of believers waiting for Jesus to come. And until He comes, we're going to work until we can't work no more. Because night is coming, folks, when we're not going to be able to work anymore. Give your heart and soul and life to Christ today. Let Jesus come into your heart. Let Him forgive you. Let Him redeem you. Let Him restore to you today the joy of His salvation. Let Him remove those things in your life. You see, there's all kind of influence. There's all kind of voices out there that's speaking and moving. And He wants us to forget about all of those voices and listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, whenever he wanted to go over into Bithynia, God wouldn't let him. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let him. And he went on over into Troas. And whenever he went over into Troas, the Bible says that there was a man from Macedonia that was calling and said, "Come over here and help us." Paul listened to the Holy Spirit and he went to Macedonia. As a result, the church of Philippi was established. Not only was the church established, but there was a fellowship that is still working, moving, and still going out. Folks, we have a preacher that followed the Holy Spirit of God. 4 years ago, he left another fluent, prosperous going ministry. He don't know anything. He don't know how we're going to do all of this. But I tell you, and I'm not putting any, and I'm not trying to put any kind of halos on him either. But I want you to understand, he also followed the leadership of the Lord and the discernment of the Spirit. That's why Brother Tim and Miss Tanya is here. Brother Jameson was also in a church that was fluent, moving. He was, and he listened to the Holy Spirit, and he's here now at Crossroads. This faithfulness of God's servants that listen to God, because the Lord is on and in and through them. And the Lord is in this place today. And God is in, is speaking to you and to me. What is it that we need to let go of so we can hear his voice? And we need to follow him as only he wants us to do. To be the exuberant, rejoicing and joyful fellowship that he wants us to be. You see, this is what makes a church. Because whenever a lost person comes through the doors of that church, all they're going to see and recognize is yours and my attitude, yours and my life, yours and my way of thinking, talking, doing, fellowshipping, loving, all of these kind of things. And they will know whether it's real or not real. God wants us to shirk all of this other stuff and just give our life, surrender everything to him, and let him be the voice in our mind. Let him be the voice in our heart. Let him be the voice in our soul and in our spirit. And let him be the voice that leads us to do what needs to be done to make a strong fellowship in our giving, in our praying, in our preaching, in our singing, in our worship, in our teaching, and in our example as Christians of commitment of following the Lord Jesus Christ. That we might be able to joy and rejoice one day, because you see, our crown of rejoicing and joy is going to be when we get to heaven, is to see all of those souls behind us that we had an influence in reaching while we were here on this earth. And that's what he wants us to do as a joyful, rejoicing fellowship. Paul and Timothy was an example of that. Follow their life. Father God, we bow today. We give you thanks. We give you praise and honor and glory for this time and this moment that we've had to worship. We thank you, dear Lord, for what you're going to do now. God, I pray that you would just move and lead and direct, and you would call all that needs to come. Father God, that you might be honored and glorified. As we give you thanks and praise, in Jesus' name, amen.